Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and I'm very excited to be podcasting today. It's just me, and the last time I podcasted was actually about 2 weeks ago. So even though one came out last week, I had pre-recorded that. So, and this one is coming out tonight. I'm going to put it out right now. It is Wednesday the 9th, and it is 10:33 a.m., just so you all know. So it will be coming out tonight, even though you might be listening to this a whole other day. So this past weekend, I got to headline the at the Tropicana Atlantic City Comedy Club at a nightclub called Kiss Kiss, and it was freaking fantastic. First of all, the room is insane. There's this huge, huge disco ball that you're doing comedy under, and I love disco balls, so it just made me feel really happy. It was sparkly. It was incredible. Oh, and my friend Benny DeMarco was there too. He's a hilarious comic. And before I went on stage, he goes, "You should tell all the people that all it's going to take is that disco ball to like get loose and fall and the front row will die." And I was like, I'm definitely not going to say that. I mean, it's a funny concept, but like, it's not a good way to get everyone on your side and laughing when you're like, by the way, you could die in any instant if this ball drops. And then they're all, I would be in my head. Honestly, if I was an audience member and someone said that to me, I would the entire time be thinking about that ball coming down and crushing my skull. So it was hilarious, but I was like, Benny, I'm not going to do that. And Benny ended up taking some amazing promo pics that weekend. So they're not out yet, but I will definitely be sharing them on my social media because there's this insane light tunnel there. So once again, it's Atlantic City Comedy Club, and it's also the nightclub Kiss Kiss. And there's this tunnel with all these fucking lights. It's like the most psychedelic thing I've ever seen. I felt like I was in the Great Mother's womb. It was crazy. So like sometimes before I go on stage, I have so much energy coursing through me, and it doesn't have anywhere to go because all the other comics are on. So I'm like pacing like a fucking lion in a cage. So I just kept walking up and down this tunnel saying amazing, crazy, out there things. Like I was like, first of all, I've been watching the new season of Westworld, which at first I wasn't into, and now I'm getting into it again, like hardcore. But she keeps saying this line. They I don't know if I'm giving anything away, but they're doing flashbacks where Dolores, the artificial intelligence Dolores, is taken out of the Westworld thing into New York City, and she just, so this is her first time as a robot, but pretty much a human because it's just consciousness. She's looking at New York City, or it's LA, but I think it's New York City, and it's her first time looking at these lights, and she keeps saying, like, I forget the exact quote, but she keeps talking about the splendor. And it really sticks with me, the word splendor, because we often take for granted the beauty of this life, because we get so accustomed to the miracles of it. And because she's artificial intelligence and she keeps being programmed by them to the start, she's able to constantly be in a fresh moment. It's like, once again, the School of Men that I love, A Society of Souls, Jason Shulman talks about seeing the world through the eyes of an infant in a sense, because they're able to really receive the light and love of God and the splendor of everything. And then, of course, you know, we go through life and we exile certain parts and we're not able to feel fully alive. But I love Dolores in that moment being able to really take in the splendor of all the lights of New York City. And being in that tunnel, I kept saying over and over, like, look at this splendor. And I meant it, though, because it was just so wild and there were so many lights. Just okay. So first of all, it was last Friday. I get in my car around 1 and I head to Atlantic City by myself. And even that drive, it's only an hour and 45 minutes, but I get a little stomach ache where I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing this drive to Atlantic City all by myself. And I haven't been to Atlantic City since I was a teenager. So since I was in high school visiting my friend, her parents had like a big apartment thing there. So I went there in high school. Oh my God. And my friends were being obnoxious. Now that I think about it, the boys were like throwing Alka-Seltzer at the seagulls to see if their stomachs would explode. I remember being so upset about it and not being able to say anything because they were all older than me. They were in older grade and they were the cool kids. And I was friends with them, but I never really at that point fully stood up to those boys. And they were, it was really gross actually. So sorry if you guys are listening. I'm sure, I hope you've all grown and treat animals with kindness now. I know it was like a stupid high school thing, but still awful. But that was the last time I'd been there. So I get this stomach ache driving where I'm like, oh my God, I'm driving all by myself. I'm an adult. Holy shit. What's Atlantic City going to be like? Am I going to be able to navigate it? Well, am I going to be overwhelmed? So I've got all these nervous feelings going on. And I get there really easily. I'm immediately happy entering Atlantic City. My windows are down. I can feel the sea breeze. I just like being near the ocean, which, by the way, is a newer thing. I loved being by the ocean when I was a kid. I went there all the time. And then I think because of wounding and a lot of fights that happened with my mom at the shore, I wasn't about it until, I guess, about a year or two ago. Something healed. And I love being by the shore again. And just being by the ocean and the waves and the breeze, the aliveness of it is really soothing to me. So just entering Atlantic City, feeling the sea breeze, I'm immediately just like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. I needed a getaway. And I walk in and the Tropicana is amazing. So it's like a casino mall, but it's pretty much a whole other world you're entering in. I walk in, the whole ceiling is painted like clouds and it kind of looks like it. So it's kind of trippy because you're outside but inside. And I just walk in there like I'm like, Tropicana, here I come. Like I am just stoked. I walk into this one store. It's a soap and like bath bomb store, but everything looks like a dessert and I'm fucking loving it. And I FaceTime Shane and I'm like showing him all the stuff. The lady working at the store is like, what is happening? I can't afford anything. It's like $20 for like a pie shaped soap. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. But it was just awesome. Like I was like, yo, I'm in a store where they sell dessert shaped soap. Like, hello, this is incredible. So I get my room, I put my stuff down, and I'm now walking around this mall. And I walk into a store. It's the store, what is it? It's like Black House White Market. It's like, I think I'm saying that right. I always mess it up, but it's this like dress store essentially. They sell other stuff other than dresses, but it's like a nicer store. And I just walk in. I'm not trying to buy anything. I'm just taking in the Tropicana experience, right? I walk in, totally probably being too friendly, because I immediately befriend the woman working there. I forget her name. Actually, I kind of remember her name, but I won't say it for out of respect for her privacy. And I tell her that I'm a comedian. I'm going to be headlining upstairs. And she's like, oh, that's great. And then she tells me that she used to do theater with her church group and that her husband used to be a pastor and she was a pastor as well. And I'm like, oh, I'm really spiritual. And I actually love Jesus, even though I was raised Jewish and I'm not technically religious, but I still really respect him as an ascended master. And then suddenly what happened? Oh, I told her I read tarot cards. And that's when things really went like, because she, and a lot of people believe, if you're very strict Catholic or Christian, a lot of that faith believes that tarot cards, which I believe are tools of divinity and have been around forever, and that even Jesus himself used things like tarot. He studied Kabbalah. This is my belief. He was a healer who studied all different healing modalities. And however, a lot of people who are very much go by the scripture, like very much so, and aren't very flexible with it, they are not into tarot. However, there are different approaches to it. Like my amazing cousin Adam, who was on, he's a minister, he won't mess with the tarot, like I won't give him a reading, but he didn't come down on me for it, which is always appreciated. This woman kind of came down on me. She was like, do you know that it's, she basically said it's the work of the devil. And I told her, I disagree, but it's okay that we have different beliefs. And she was not okay with our different beliefs. Like she just started like kind of prophetizing to me or whatever the word is. And she was like, you just haven't taken the light of the Lord in yet. And that to me is offensive because I feel like I have a very close relationship to the universe and God. And I know I do. And I was like, I disagree. I feel very much that I have, but it's okay. You know, we don't have to agree, but please do not put that on me. And she, her and I started like going at it, or I really felt like she was going at it with me. And I was just holding my boundaries because I just kept trying to say to her, look, we have different beliefs. We obviously have different beliefs. And I just started walking out of the store because she started getting pretty aggressive and she works there. And as I was walking out, she's like, may Jesus be with you. But she said it really angry. I looked back. I was like, may Jesus be with you. Like, don't throw may Jesus be with you at me. Like, of course, I'm a huge fan of Christ and Christ consciousness. It was just so crazy. So we get into this thing and I walk up right up to the comedy club and all my friends and you know, comedians are there because I got to work with comedians coincidentally. I didn't book the show, but a lot of my friends were there and I went right in. I was like, dude, they were like, hey, Kate. I was like, hey, I just got into a fight with a woman about Jesus. They were like, of course you did. So that was like the start to the amazing weekend. And then the Friday night, it was a 7 and a 9 o'clock. Both went so I just had so much fun. I've been doing a lot more crowd work and kind of feeling into people's souls, I think in a positive way and on stage. And then after the shows, holy shit, Kiss Kiss becomes the most fucking bumping nightclub ever. And now I don't really go out ever. Like I do my shows and I go right home. So for me, it was such a treat because the DJ came out. He started playing an amazing hip hop and techno. It was like he had a perfect mix of music, some pop stuff. So he starts playing. These gorgeous burlesque dancers come up in these light cages and they're fucking dancing. And I'm going like, I'm like, yeah, like I'm yelling in a good way at them. Like, I'm like, yeah, girl. And like, it was so, I was fucking in the middle of that dance floor, breaking it down. And then I was there with Dan Altano, Russ Gutten, Adam Glynn, Benny DeMarco, Alex Pichera. I met this amazing, amazing friend woman. She's incredible. Amy Lynn was there and she was dancing. We just all were having the best time. Like you know me, I love dancing and I haven't done a break free in a long time. Although I want to do break free now there in Atlantic City because that would be fucking amazing. But we were just dancing and it's so fun. It was so fun to watch some of my friends kind of be a little nervous because a lot of people haven't danced freely in years. And like at first, especially, sorry, I got to call out my friend Adam. At first he was like kind of tight with me. And then I was like, yo, I know you can dance. I can see. He's like, oh yeah, I used to be a bar mitzvah dancer. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So dance. Like, so like by the end, everyone was just going at it. Like everyone was just dancing and not in some like sleazy way. Like we were not at all dancing up on each other. Like, we were just dancing to dance. It was so fucking fun. We were going at it. And then once again, not going at it like sexually, like just fucking breaking it down. So fun. But it was interesting as other people started kind of piling into the nightclub. They were like kind of watching, like they were like, oh, these people are dancing and having fun. And then like a lot of these dudes start coming up and trying to like hit on me and some of my and one of my girlfriends and like. I was like, first of all, so this one dude comes up to me. He's a great dancer, but I wasn't fucking with it. And he literally pulls me in like a machine and starts spinning me around and around. And he was a good dancer. So like, it was like a roller coaster. He pulls me in, spinning around, actually doing the dance, but it was very forceful. And I was like, what the fuck's happening? And then I get out of it. Because I was trying to the whole time. I get out of it and the bouncer, who was amazing, he had seen the whole comedy show. He's like, yo, are you okay? Do you need my help? I was like, yo, I'm fine. I was like, that was very forceful, but it was actually also like a roller coaster and kind of fun, but I ain't fucking with it. So that dude who did that comes back up to me. He's like, come on, dance with me. And I was like, no, thank you. I'm like, you're a good dancer, but that was maniacal. Like, I'm not trying to dance with you. He's like, come on. So he's not taking no for an answer. And I swear to God, I took my hand and put it over his face. I didn't touch him. I like sorcered him or whatever. I don't know the word, but I just put my hand on top of his face. And there were like about 6 inches of space between his face and my hand. But I just was doing this because he wasn't taking no for an answer. So I just put my hand there. And all my friends came up. They're like, yo, Kate, what are you doing? And the dude could hear me. I was like, I'm telling him no. They're like, what? I was like, I'm rejecting him. They're like, what? And the dude was just looking at my hand because he wouldn't take no for an answer. And finally, when he realized that this was a sorceress hand of no, he walked away. But it was such a wild scene. It was a really fun night. And then I headlined 2 shows again the next night, but didn't stay to dance. I just, after the 9 o'clock, got in my car, drove home late, listened to music. And yeah, it was just super fun. I needed a good day, a good weekend of relaxation and dancing. And I didn't get to really, I got to walk on the beach a bit with Dan and Amy Lynn. We went out for the best fucking brunch I've ever had. And once again, I'm doing a lot of healing work, so I'm starting to really be able to feel the small miracles of life. And I'll tell you, these blueberry pancakes I had were fucking slamming. I'm serious. They were so, how do I explain these pancakes? They were like, they like came apart easily. Like, it was just honestly amazing. So it was a really good weekend. I did get to walk on the beach a little bit, but the next time I'm down there, I had my bikini, but I didn't bust it out. The next time I'm out there, all of my friends, we're going out. We're hanging out. Come on down. The next time I'm there, make it a fucking trip. It was so fun. Okay, so that was my Atlantic City trip. Fought with a lady about Jesus. Got to dance my heart out in front of burlesque dancers who were so fucking sexy. And I say that with the utmost respect. These were girls doing their fucking thing. And it was like, I've never been a fan of strip clubs. They always felt super like skeezy to me. But this felt good. Like, it felt like the woman felt empowered. It was like a whole other vibe. It's like burlesque versus stripping, kind of. And burlesque just always feels so much more empowering. So anyway, that was that experience. I took notes, by the way, so I'm looking. Oh my God. Okay. So something else exciting was last Wednesday, a week ago, I had a meeting with the superintendent of my son's school district about homework. And I was pretty nervous walking in because I didn't know who I was going to be meeting with. And I was like sitting in that office. I got there early, as I always do. So of course my stomach starts getting a little like swooshy as you're waiting. You're just sitting there and you're like, okay. So then he comes. Nice dude, brings me to his office, which is huge. He's definitely a boss, you know what I mean? In like the best way. Like, I was like, yo. Oh, and speaking of bosses, I need a shout out Russ Gutten again, who helps run Atlantic City Comedy Club, and his family owns Cuba Libre, an incredible Cuban restaurant in the Tropicana and right next to Philly Comedy Club where I just headlined. He is a fucking boss and he runs shit. And I just needed to shout that out with Russ too, because I didn't get to do that. But anyway, back to the superintendent, who's also a boss in a boss ass office. I walk in, have a seat, and I start telling him my concerns about homework overload. And listen, I would love for Shane to get no homework, but I understand that he's going to get some. Okay. So I kind of said that. I was like, look, I'm very liberal in the homework department. I would love no homework, but I understand that there's going to be some. I just don't like when a kid's sitting at a desk, not just my kid, but kids in general, are sitting at a desk for 6.5 to 7 hours, and then they come home and they still have to sit again and do homework. Like, let our kids run around outside, or let them play video games. Everyone's like, oh, but then they're going to go play video games. So what? We're on our phones all the time. It's a way for a kid's brain to chill for a second. Like, I don't want my kid to be overworked and stressed. And like, that's what adults are like. And we shouldn't be like that. Like, it's okay to have downtime. So I had a great meeting with him. He was actually so responsive. And he was like, I agree. He was like, he's not anti-homework, but he doesn't think that homework should be busy work or definitely not punishment. And we just had a great talk, and he was letting me know all about, I want to say the school district, but I'm not going to, but it made me appreciate my son's school district so much more. It's not Westfield. I live in Westfield. It's not Westfield schools. That's where I used to teach though. And that's a great school district, but I don't really know the inner workings at this point of, you know, Westfield High School or anything. But I got to find out about my son's district, and man, they offer not just AP classes, but Syracuse comes in with their teachers and or certified professors or professors, however it is, and they teach classes at the high school, and then it's a Syracuse credit. And one of the classes they teach is like forensics. So they set up crime scenes. And he said it's a really hard class because there's like chemistry and physics and all sorts of stuff built in when you're going through the crime scene. But I was like, see, that's amazing. Like, I don't know. I got to find out a lot more about the school system. I even offered, I said, look, maybe not now, but I told him I used to be an art teacher, and I was like, I would totally love to come in and even teach like an after school sketch comedy class, which I used to do when I was a middle school art teacher. And I'm really missing being in the classroom with middle school students. I taught for 8 years, and I left because of the crazy structure of the public school system. I don't like being confined to very tight rules. I've never been much of a rule person like that. So I, you know, he isn't taking me up on it yet, but hopefully in the future I'll get to go into some middle schools or even high schools again. I got to teach high school for a little bit, for about a year when I was pregnant, and that was a whole experience. So, oh my God, one time I passed out pregnant teaching because I had it. When I was pregnant, my blood sugar levels were like crazy. So I had to like eat every hour because they drop, like even when I'm not pregnant, I have to eat pretty consistently or I get dizzy. And when I was pregnant, I literally didn't eat for like an hour or two. And I was teaching, and I said to one of my students, I was like, oh my God, I'm about to pass out. And they were like, what? And I was like, oh my God, I'm about to pass out. And I like sat down on the floor, and I passed out in front of while teaching. I was teaching math. I was a long-term sub for a year while pregnant. So I was teaching math and English and all sorts of topics. But yeah, that was I just remember that. I passed out while teaching and pregnant. There you go. But anyway, so it was just such a great, it was just such a great conversation with the superintendent. And I just realized like, look, I didn't have the energy before this year to even put that kind of effort into connecting with my son's teachers, principals, superintendents. Like I would do the back to school meetings, but I'm going to get just so much more involved. And I'm just so proud of the school system my son is in. And I think, and he, you know what I loved about him too? He's so about active learning. Like I came in there wanting to talk a lot about active learning. And he was like, no, I totally agree. Teachers should be engaging their students, motivating them. They shouldn't, you know, students should not be getting an hour lecture. And I was like, thank you for saying that, because so many of these old school teachers, the kids come in and they just talk at them and give them notes. And of course, kids are going to start fucking falling asleep. So I was just really appreciative. And then, not related to this superintendent, but the last week, Tina and I talked about this, and then this actually happened. So things are syncing up in the world. So a superintendent in New Jersey, I believe it's Homedale, New Jersey, got arrested because he was pooping on the high school track every day on his way home. I mean, I literally was talking last week about the woman at Merck going into the bathroom and smearing her feces every day on the bathroom walls, and no one knew who it was. The superintendent of Homedale was pooping every day on the track. And this, for me, just goes to show that every human being is going through a lot. And most of us are not speaking our truth, our pain, what's really going on. We put on these masks. We paint these illusions of our lives, put on these smiles, but who knows what's really going on inside. And here you have the superintendent who's running a whole district and holding in probably resentment, anger, frustration, probably not just with work, but his home life, and then taking it out on the field. And it's like funny, but it's also, you know, in a non-judging way, my heart goes out to him, because a lot of people have these kinds of pent-up feelings and have no way, or they don't think they have a way of releasing them. And this is why I always say therapy, healing work, so much. There's so much out there to help express these pent-up feelings. So, I mean, as surprised as I was to hear a superintendent was pooping on a track, I also wasn't surprised. I was talking about it on stage in Atlantic City, and a woman heckled, but in a good way, I guess. And she goes, "More like pooper intendant." And I was annoyed she interrupted me, but I also wasn't, because pooper intendant's a pretty good name. So there you go. The pooper intendant. And once again, we can all fall into the trap of making fun of this dude, but a lot of us are holding in crazy stuff. And I actually just posted on my Instagram this beautiful painting of Alice in Wonderland. I'm a huge fan of Alice in Wonderland. I've been a huge fan for like years and years. And I used to show my middle school students, like towards the end of the year, we'd have these like half days. And it was always like a movie day. And every time I would show Tim Burton's remake of Alice in Wonderland with Johnny Depp and as the Mad Hatter. And I just, there's so many metaphors in Alice in Wonderland, because I believe that this human life, it's a sense like a trip. It's a trip we're taking. It's a waking dream. We are waking up and coming alive to our superpowers, we can say, and so much more, our true abilities in this beautiful human design. And I just love showing the kids. And I decided today to kind of look up on Instagram some Alice in Wonderland art. And I found this beautiful painting this woman had done. And in the painting, it had one of my favorite quotes from that book/movie, which is, "We're all mad here." And I'm bringing it up because it ties into the pooper intendant, because we truly are all mad. But mad doesn't mean crazy. We all have crazy and chaos within us. That's a part of the human condition. It's a quality. It's one quality. There are many. And we forget, because we all try to think that we have this together, or that we have more control than we do. We have elements of control, but a lot of the control we actually have is the ability to go within when we're triggered and to really look at these deep historical wounds that are making us respond in such a quote unquote crazy way. And I had such a crazy weekend at spiritual school, I guess a week and a half ago. So the weekend before Atlantic City. And I actually only have one more weekend left, and then I will have graduated my amazing 4-year program in A Society of Souls, although I want to and plan on continuing my education there. I really want to, just because the work is so deep, so beautiful, so moving, so changing, and I just owe so much to it. So, I mean, Jason Shulman is a freaking genius. And so are my teachers. I mean, so they took the work of Jason, but my teachers, Eileen and Jeff, I won't give their last names right now, but they're also really amazing people who have, helped to wake me up to all sorts of things. And I still am. But the last weekend was so intense. We learned advanced healings. I will not go fully into them. I don't think I'm allowed. And plus, they might not make sense. But they really woke me up to a huge, huge pattern in my life that I have been reenacting forever. And I'm going to try to go into it without giving, once again, too many details, because I try my best, as always, to be as open as I can while respecting other people's privacy. Because if I was just sharing everything while not giving a shit about that, that would be pretty hurtful and rude. So I saw a pattern that, for me, at the crux of it, it's not being listened to or believed. And that started since I was very young in both households, because my parents were divorced. So half the time I was at my mom's, and then half the time I was with my dad. And then my dad got remarried when I was 11 to my stepmom. And then that became a whole other environment that was pretty tough for me. And I think it was tough for everyone involved. So I want to be fair and say it's not like it was only tough on me. I know it was tough for my brother, and I'm sure for my dad and stepmom as well. But this wound that came up was really about, ever since I was little, really not being fully believed. I think actually my dad did really listen to me even when I was a young nugget of a girl. And then there were a lot of complications when he got remarried. There were complications and messiness before that, but the dynamic really shifted. And so one of the wounds that came up was just this. I still have a lot of distrust around my own intuition because I was told time and time again that it was wrong as a kid. So if I felt like someone was mad at me and I said, oh, I feel like you're being mean or mad at me, I was always, not always, but a lot of times I was told, no, nope, I love you. No, you're making that up. Mm-mm. And it really twisted me up. And it's not just with that example. In many ways, I've always been very, very sensitive, very in tune, and very outspoken. And I think that that combination was often mistaken by people. Because if I was listening to my intuition and it felt like something was off, even if they were trying to create an illusion of it not being off, in both households, I was told that I was wrong or that I was being a bitch. And I got into crazy fights with my mom starting young where we both cursed at each other, which her and I have done a ton of healing around. And my mom and I are actually doing pretty good. We got into that big fight a couple weeks ago, but overall, we've done a lot of work on our relationship. But it was really tough growing up being so sensitive, being so in tune, and being so fiery because people often, you know, if I was picking up on something that, and by the way, there's an owl literally hooting outside my window as I say this, which to me is the wisdom, you know, it's owl medicine, wisdom, getting to your deepest core and your truth. So thank you, holographic nature of reality, for that right now. But yeah, and I'm sure a ton of you can relate to this because children are often not heard and not listened to. And children are beautiful, enlightened beings, but they're so vulnerable because their bodies are actually smaller and they're often disregarded. So if a child's picking up on something, but the parents don't want to acknowledge that, they can convince the child that they're wrong. Or worse, if there's a lot of pain in the adult, they can verbally or physically abuse the child into silence. And I wasn't often physically abused. My mom sometimes potched me on the tuchus, a very nice, polite Jewish way of getting hit on your butt, but still very painful, especially emotionally. However, I definitely had a lot of verbal and emotional abuse, I would say, in both households, although there might not be that agreement yet. But that's part of the wound that's coming up is that I often felt like I was going crazy because all the things I was perceiving and picking up on, I was told I was wrong. And that has created pretty much a whirlwind of twisted up wounds because I'll sense something in my body and I believe it to be true, although it doesn't mean you want to try to create exact answers because sometimes you're picking up on something, but you don't know exactly what it is. You just know that there's something going on and it definitely has to do with you and the situation because it's always the relationship to the thing. So even it could even be an object, right? Like I could walk in and get triggered by a red chair because somehow when I was young, I'm not saying this happened, somehow when I was young, you know, I got verbally attacked and I was sitting on a red chair. Do you get what I'm saying? So I could see a red chair and just my relationship to that chair could trigger something within me that I've yet to look at. But, you know, so I started seeing this pattern of because I don't yet trust my intuition and I always feel like I'm a little bit crazy because that's what got put on to me as a young, young girl. I create these situations where I feel that I'm not being listened to or heard or seen, and it makes me so emotional. But that's my work because my work is to go within, sit with myself, and sit with that little girl who's still wounded and crying because she was often verbally attacked or emotionally abused or manipulated and often just not listened to. And it's such a lonely, sad feeling when you're young. And something like that happens, you honestly, you want to die. At least I did as a little girl. And then you feel even crazier because you're like, all these people are telling me they love me. So why do I feel like I just got verbally attacked? And why do I feel like I want to die inside? And now why do I feel like I've been made out again to be the bad guy? And I felt like that happened because of my fire. I was often misunderstood and I felt made out to be the bad guy when I was young. And then when my dad remarried, that became a whole other fucking thing where I felt like I was often the scapegoat and thrown to the wolves. Very funny because I know her last name is Wolf, but for real, I felt like I was thrown to the wolves a lot in that household and often forced to apologize for things that I didn't feel that I should be saying sorry for, but I often had to suck it up and apologize just to survive that. And that wound is here. And there's a lot of anger coming up within that, right? Because as a little girl who just feels like she got wronged and not listened to have to then swallow all that and apologize and make nice, I'm very much in that place of resenting this whole be polite, make nice, because I can often feel when it's pretend make nice. And yet in the external world, a lot of these people get to look like they're operating from a place of kindness. But kindness is about being in your body and listening to what feels right and speaking your truth. And I don't mean speaking your truth in a nasty way. It's really just holding your ground and saying what's real for you. And once again, as a little girl, I wasn't invited to do that. Because if I actually said, actually, this doesn't feel like love. This actually hurts when you say that. And there were lots and lots of snide comments made at me, in both households. And that's as far as I'll go with sharing, because I know that's already going to, hopefully they're not listening, but I know my mom listens. But once again, her and I have a very open healing relationship and have discussed this, but I don't want to go much more into it. And, I'm saying more about my childhood because I'm sick of holding everything back. I've been doing it since I was little, and I know I'm not the bad girl that I was told I was just for saying what I saw to be true. And it wasn't even, it was true for me. I'm sick of being called cutesy nicknames when they're not fitting. You know how many people did that to me and still kind of do? Like, I'm ready to speak up, hopefully with kindness. And that's what I'm working on, because there's a way to be fire, but with compassion and love and mercy built within. And that's what I'm really trying to work in. And that will shift as I bring more compassion to myself. And that's what's always been missing, because I always felt crazy because I was told from a young age that I was, essentially, that I was making things up, when I really felt aggression from so many different angles as a child for being such a in tune psychic and empathic little girl with quite the fire and spirit. And that's the thing. People loved the spirit. They loved it as long as I wasn't saying something that they disagreed with. And I was the little girl always calling out the elephant in the room. And if people don't want to acknowledge the elephant, then they're not going to be very happy with me. And I've been a really bad nail biter since I was young, because I was holding in so much from a young age. There was so much in both households that, but once again, at least at my mom's house, it was like acknowledged by more people. Like, my mom was going through a really tough time, and I feel like she didn't hide it quite as well. Whereas at the other household, everything looked pretty. So that's where a lot of my feeling like I'm crazy came in, because everything looked good. So why did I feel so bad inside? And once again, I'm saying this for my own truth, and because I know a lot of you can relate to that feeling of, things in the external. We all like to put pretty bows and package it well, but that doesn't mean that it's actually that way. And it's a wound I'm right now healing, because it made me feel crazy. And it goes back to the quote, "We're all mad here." The reason why I bring that up is, we all have these crazy parts. So if you're feeling like you're the only crazy one, remember, there's a superintendent who pooped on a track every day. And this is not to make fun of him, but it's to say, not everything is what it looks like or what it seems. And you are not alone in your struggle. You're not alone in your pain. And we are all in this together. And this is, once again, not to make fun of people or you know, me speaking my truth, it's not about trying to hurt anyone, believe it or not. Even the people who I feel emotionally abused me and still have yet to fully cop to that. But it's, and I'm not saying I'm innocent either. I'm not, and how do I say this? I know that I'm a tough cookie too. And often when I feel attacked, whether I was attacked or not, I know how to come back, right? But I also, this is why I stay out of roast battling, because when I verbally go back, I can go in and I'm once again trying to heal that thing that bites back quite so aggressively. And that's a defense. But I believe that we're all swimming in these similar collective wounds together. And the more we can start voicing these things and going within and telling ourselves that we're not crazy, if your intuition is telling you that something's off or wrong, it is for you. It doesn't mean that the other person is necessarily, but you get to go in and listen to yourself and say, okay, how, if this is feeling so toxic or bad for me, it doesn't necessarily mean that person's toxic or bad, but how can I now navigate this in this moment where I feel safe, at least for now? And then maybe that'll change and shift in the future where that situation feels less unsafe. But you are allowed to listen to your body. And that's the beauty of being an adult. When you're a child, you're not always given that option, unfortunately. And I know that I wasn't. And I had to shapeshift and twist and twist myself into knots in order to survive those childhood environments. And now I'm free. And that's the beauty of this spiritual journey, is realizing as an adult that you're free to actually listen to your body and navigate as such. And that has been just in the last week and a half since my last weekend, it's been beautiful and so freeing to realize that I can listen to my body without jumping to conclusions as to what the transference means. And that was an old wound for me too, was I would get anxiety in my body and immediately assume I knew why. Sometimes the anxiety goes deeper than anxiety. It could be transformation. And once again, I'm not making that up myself. My healer, Eileen, she would often, when I was experiencing only the negative side of a transformative feeling, like I'd be like, oh, I feel like I'm burning. She would remind me that it's not necessarily just burning. It's also transformation. So that's that. Let me see what else I have written down on my notes. Along that, I think we all, in terms of getting confused with the external world, it's like we get really confused with labels as well. And I used to be like, wait, he's an environmentalist? Wait, he's vegan? Wait, he's whatever, you know. I would use those labels as a way to not actually feel into what's going on. And I think that has to be a shift too, is like someone could be a superintendent, someone could be a doctor, someone could be a lawyer, someone could be an environmentalist. It doesn't matter what your label is. It's about really feeling into the person. Like you, look, there are tons of spiritual communities, vegan communities, communities that represent love and connection, but it doesn't mean that every single person within them is going to be healed. And I've said this story before, but you know, a lot of the ways that this journey started for me was animal rights protests, because I saw these horrors going on in factory farms and I wanted to help make the world just a better place. So I started doing these protests. And what made me stop was some of the people that came who were animal rights activists would come and just yell at people. And it was pretty verbally abusive. And I was like, oh, no, this dude just hates women. He loves animals, but he also hates women. Like I felt that there was a deeper way to make a shift in this collective consciousness for me. And I'm still a huge animal rights activist. And hope to make a dent in that area. But for me, organizing the protest, it didn't feel right because of those kinds of things. So once again, someone can call themselves a thing, but it doesn't mean that they've healed certain parts within themselves. And I'm not saying that I am healed. I am a healing. I'm on the healing journey. I do not claim to be perfect at all. Okay. In terms of this healing journey, you know, this pattern that I just talked about that I'm seeing, It's not that that pattern has completely shifted yet, but my relationship to the pattern has changed. So something shifted in that weekend where I see the pattern, but I'm not as much a slave to it now. And it was a beautiful shift. And I'm sure I'll still get triggered and have moments where I fall into it. But something deeply shifted, and it's related to a healing that we learned and did. But that kink, I'll call it a kink, has been pretty much unkinked, I would say. And I really, I don't know, something deeper has shifted where I'm able to listen to my intuition without as much self-hate. And it's really changed the game for me. And I'm just so grateful to the universe and to God for all these constant opportunities to heal and grow. I think really we just all have to keep taking leaps of faith, because this is a scary, beautifully scary journey. And we like to stay in our comfort zone, and yet we hate staying in our comfort zone because then it becomes so routine and we actually want to grow and shift and change. And, you know, I have had to take so many leaps, and they're not easy. Even yesterday, I had to take another leap and it was terrifying. But just constantly believing, if you can, and having faith that the universe has your back. When you can start really trusting the universe, everything changes. And even though I get attached to certain thoughts and things and people, I ultimately know that whatever and whoever is meant to actually come into my life will, and whoever is meant to leave will. Something shifts and it just becomes an easier ride. But yeah, it takes a lot to get there. And now I'm going to pull some cards for you guys. I think I'm going to do tarot, art through the eyes of the soul oracle, and my Archangel Michael deck. So I'm going to do from all three decks. So let me pull a tarot, and I'm sure it's going to be lovely and synchronistic like always, although I just built it up. Okay. It's the Judgment card. And Judgment in the tarot deck. Okay, this is the Mother Peace deck. So it's actually the sign of, like, it's like the cross, but it's not. It's the female. It's like it has that circle on the top of it. So it's the female symbol, which I love because I'm all about the Sri Yantra, which is sacred geometry for the divine feminine coming in and balancing with the sacred divine masculine. And people are often mistaken for what that means. It's really about equality within ourselves. And when I was talking about us all dancing at Atlantic City, for me, the divine feminine was so present in that, because often when the divine masculine is outnumbered or when it's taken over, we become two in our minds and in our heads. And we're like, almost like robots of like, what are people going to think about me? I can't show my vulnerability. And when everyone started kind of moving and flowing, I was like, oh my God, she's here. The great mother is here. We are moving. We are in her embrace, in her arms. We feel safer to move and be who we truly are. And you know, the divine feminine has been deeply, deeply wounded throughout history for ages now. And now it's healing, and like the mother's coming back. And you even see this symbology in so many different shows, like obviously Game of Thrones. Mother has arrived. This woman, this heroine, this archetype of the divine feminine, of she's here. And talk about fire. Talk about, you've seen her journey of being treated like a little girl and not being listened to and having to walk through fire and transmutation and all sorts of alchemy going on with her to claim her power, to claim her truth. And that's within all of us. So we are all learning how to be vulnerable and speak our truth and just be who we truly are. And this Judgment card, it has that feminine symbol, but then there's a whole rainbow, a spectrum of colors, this prism that's literally coding the planet Earth. And it's like we are waking up to the range of colors within ourselves and really allowing ourselves to be these multifaceted beings. We have dark parts within, light parts within, and just starting to almost shake their hands as we meet them. Oh, hello, jealous part. Hello, little scared boy or girl that lives within. Oh, hello, very sensitive nugget that's a crybaby within. It's really about meeting these places and shaking their hands, even if you can't love them yet, or maybe fist bumping if you can't even shake their hand yet, these places within, but just saying, okay, you exist. You exist within me, because we're all connected. We all have these things within us. And it's about waking up that we all have these places. And even waking up to the parts of ourselves that are so ashamed for being who we truly are. Hello, doubtful place within me, the place that always doubts myself and wants to go back and regret and feel like I should have done something differently. We all have that place too that makes a decision and then says, fuck, I should have done it differently. So it's really about going within, seeing these places and shaking their hands. And once again, a lot of this I learned from the work of a Society of Souls about it's okay to bring in and include all these parts. And that's what I really loved about Jason and love about Jason Shulman's work is that you are not being asked to exile and get rid of parts. Because a lot of these meditations that you encounter in the spiritual community, it's like silence the mind, exclude things, push them away, silence your brain. When you push and create that resistance, they just come back with more force. They don't have a place to locate in your body. This is the work of my school that I'm in. It's so beautiful because it's saying you are allowed to be human. That's the spiritual journey. And he, you know, Jason Shulman talks about cardboard saints in the school. And for me, I don't want to say what he would say, but for me, a cardboard saint is that labeling of like, oh, it's all about fairies and love. And like, it is, but it's also about coming into who you really are and allowing these darker places as well that we often have shame around and bringing them in. And that's this journey of waking up with compassion, boundaries, all of it to who we actually are. And, you know, finally saying it's okay to be who I am. And if there are some people that I can't really be around, being true to who I am, that's okay. It doesn't mean you have to hate them or curse them. You can have love in that decision as well. And that can also shift and change. So I've had to take a lot of space from certain members of my family. Even I've gone through periods where there have been months where, you know, I can't talk to certain people, friends, whoever. And then often when something shifts and heals, you know, they flow back in. So just really allowing for more flow within and then you'll see it in your external world. So that's the tarot card. It was Judgment. Now I'm going to go to Art Through the Eyes of the Soul Oracle. And let's see. I love this. It's called An Kalech Bera. So, I mean, I don't know if I said that right, but it's break free, regain your youth, and fly. I mean, hello. And break free is the name of my dance parties that I will be bringing back soon. It's all going to click. I can't wait to bring them back. And you've got a picture of a dove and it's picking up this woman's beautiful, almost see-through green cloak. She's got this purple, beautiful braided hair. And it's kind of what I was saying, break free, regain your youth, and fly. It's exactly, for me, the message of this. It's really about becoming those young kids again who were free to be who they were. Kids get cranky, kids get moody, kids cry. It's really about breaking free out of these confines of who you were told you're supposed to be. Don't be bad. Be a good girl, Katie. Don't, you know, no, this person loves you. Don't, no, Katie, don't do that. You know, it's that, obviously I'm Katie there, but it's that, and please don't call me Katie unless you have permission or know me as a child. That's another thing. But that, well, I can get into that another time. But that voice is, we were all told, oh, you want love for me? You want your parents' love? Well, you better do this, this, and this. And now we're able to break free and reparent ourselves and say, I accept you just as you are. You are allowed to be who you are. And whatever, quote unquote, bad feelings you have, they're accepted too. And I say bad in quotes because it's non-duality. Good and bad are nested very close together. When you hold good and bad closely together, a whole other thing is created, which is called the third thing in my school. So we talk about the third thing a lot. Once again, it's the work of Jason Shulman. And I'm going to pull one more card from the Archangel Michael deck. Doreen Virtue is the one who created it. Oh my God. Eternal love. Help me perceive all of the love that surrounds me so that I can feel safe receiving, expressing, and giving love. What a beautiful card to get at the end. Thank you, Archangel Michael. He's my homie. And this, it's a beautiful picture of a woman getting embraced by this angel. And first of all, I believe that angels are always around us. We are being supported by these spirit guides and spirits in other dimensions that we can't see, although some people can actually see them. I don't want to shout her out and give her name, but one of the amazing people I met this weekend, we were talking about all this and she was suddenly like, oh yeah, I can see things. And a lot of people can see things. They just don't talk about it because once again, as little kids, we're told, no, you're crazy. That's your imagination. You're not really seeing things. So some of us do see things. But anyway, back to this eternal love card. We are all worthy of the deepest, deepest love, deeper than you can imagine. We are all worthy of love, acceptance, abundance. And to me, abundance is just remembering your birthright. And I mean that every single one of us is worthy of deep love and abundance. And we are going through a collective evolution, a shift in consciousness together. We are waking up together to remember how worthy we are of love, romantic love, love from your family, love from your friends, respect. And you are allowed, when something isn't feeling good in your body, you are allowed to walk away with grace, integrity, honor, and kindness. You are allowed to love yourself. You are allowed to reconnect to these places that you had told yourselves when you were young it wasn't safe to be connected to. Connect back to your power, connect back to your energy source, and shine bright like the diamonds you all are. And thank you guys all for supporting and listening every week. It means the freaking world to me. And also those of you who follow me on Instagram as well. Some of you just leave me the kindest, most beautiful comments on there. And they really, really do make my day. Because some days are really tough. Some days I'm in fetal position. And little things like that, like getting a really sweet comment on an Instagram post. Actually, I can feel the love from that. So thank you. Let's see. So May 30th. is my next Dragon Sorcery at New York Comedy Club. Promo Dragon for $10 tickets. It's at New York Comedy Club, 7 o'clock. You can get tickets online. I would love to see you there. I combine tarot and healing work with comedy. Comedians come up, they share an issue they have for about 8 minutes, and then they sit with me. Let's see. Oh, buy my album 1111 or listen to it somewhere if you haven't. Also check out Labia Game. My website has my schedule up there, thekatewolf.com. And if you want a tarot reading or a healing, you should really have to get a tarot first. But yeah, so email me kwolf2fs27@gmail.com. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, well, by the time this is out tonight, but tomorrow, Thursday, the 10th, I'll be at the Funny Bone in Hartford, Connecticut at 7:30. If you live in that area, come out and check me out. And I think that, and once again, I'll be hosting the Libera Music Awards. I don't know if they even sell tickets to the public or not, but that is June 21st, Thursday. It's actually the day right before my last weekend of my four-year program, so it's going to be a wild freaking weekend. I'm so excited. Thank you guys so much for listening. Love to all of you. Bye.